listening to the Positive Professional Podcast with your host, me, Tracy Yvonne. This podcast is a weekly conversation about all things mental health, self-care, and wellness. And there'll be sprinkles of positivity, mindfulness, and guided meditations. Welcome back to Season 5, Episode 13. Today's episode, I'm going to dive deep into a common but rarely discussed issue that affects many professionals, and that's imposter syndrome in the workplace. Whether you're a newcomer or a seasoned leader, imposter syndrome can cast a long shadow on your career achievements and mental well-being. Today, I'll break down what imposter syndrome really is, share some examples from real-life scenarios, and offer 10 practical tips to conquer these self-doubting feelings. So let's get started. What is imposter syndrome? Well, imposter syndrome refers to an internal experience of believing that you're not as competent as others perceive you to be. Despite evident success, individuals with imposter syndrome remain convinced that they don't deserve the accolades they receive and that someday they will be exposed as a fraud. So characteristics of this in the workplace include persistent self-doubt and abilities despite past and current achievements, attributing success to external factors like luck or timing, fear of not meeting expectations and being exposed as a fraud, overachieving and perfectionism that may burn individuals out, and sabotaging one's own success due to feelings of unworthiness. So here are some real-life examples of imposter syndrome in the workplace. First, we have Alex, who's the perfectionist. He's a software developer and never feels satisfied with his completed projects and fears that others will see his work as subpar. Despite constantly positive feedback, he remains convinced that he's not good enough. Next, we have Jamie, the superwoman. A marketing director works long hours than her colleagues to ensure that her work is flawless, believing that she needs to succeed in all aspects of life to prove that she's not incompetent. Next, we have Chris, the natural genius, who's an investment banker, used to excel in academics with no effort. At work, he avoids taking on new tasks that don't come easily to him. Fearing failure, he would reveal his supposed incompetence. Next, there's Samara, the rugged individualist. She's a public relations manager, never asks for help, interpreting the need to do so as a sign that she isn't capable enough to handle responsibilities on her own. And last, we have Emily the expert, a professor who often feels that she doesn't know enough, even in her field of study. She continuously seeks out new certifications to improve her skills, believing she'll never truly know enough to be competent. So how to identify imposter syndrome? Common signs are hesitance to apply for new jobs, promotions, unless meeting every single qualification. Chronic procrastination, followed by a rush to complete work. Frequently feeling overwhelmed and attributing success to luck or other external factors. So here's another example for identification. We have John, a marketing executive. Regularly receives praise for his natural leadership skills, and the profits his strategies generate. However, internally, dismisses these as being due to the market trends rather than his own insight, reflecting classic imposter syndrome. In the next segment, I'm going to share some tips on how to overcome imposter syndrome at work.
Thank you.
So the first tip I'm going to share is to acknowledge the feelings. Recognize and admit what you're experiencing. Write down your accomplishments and the skills you use to achieve them. This reflection can help you internalize your success. So an example of this could be Jordan, an IT specialist, started journaling about his daily achievements, which helped him realize the value of his contributions. Next, talk about it. Share your feelings with trusted colleagues, mentors, or family members. Speaking about it can demystify these imposter feelings and can help validate your experiences. An example of this would be Lisa, a graphic designer, opened up to her mentor about her fears, discovering that her mentor had similar feelings when starting out, which made Lisa feel understood and less isolated. Stop comparing yourself to others. Focus on your growth and progress. Comparing yourself to others can exacerbate feelings of inadequacy. An example of this is Tom, a digital marketer. He deactivated social media accounts that he used to compare his professional achievements against his college friends, which significantly reduced his anxiety. Set realistic standards. Perfection isn't attainable. By setting achievable goals, you can more readily recognize your success. An example of this is Sarah, an event coordinator, adopted an 80-20 rule where she focused on the most impactful tasks, allowing her to celebrate wins without nitpicking imperfections. Accept and reframe failure. View failures as a natural part of the learning process. Reframe these experiences as opportunities to improve. An example of this is an engineer named Bob, started viewing every mistake as a step towards mastery rather than an evidence of incompetence. Visualize success. Spend time visualizing yourself succeeding in your tasks. This mental rehearsal can increase your confidence and decrease feelings of fraudulence. An example of this could be before presentations, Anita, a sales manager, visualizes giving a successful and confident talk, which often leads to a better performance. Develop a healthy response to feedback. Constructive criticism is a tool for improvement, not a weapon against your self-esteem. Respond to feedback with curiosity and eagerness to learn. An example of this is Kevin, a customer service rep, started asking clarifying questions when receiving feedback to fully understand and utilize the advice without feeling criticized personally. Mentor others. Teaching or mentoring colleagues can reinforce your own knowledge and skills. It's hard to feel like an imposter when you see others benefiting from your expertise. An example of this is Nina, a senior accountant, began leading quarterly training sessions, which reinforced her understanding and value within the team. Normalize imposter feelings. Recognize that many people feel like imposters at one time or another. It's a normal feeling that doesn't reflect your true capabilities. An example of this is a CEO named Raj. Often shares his early career imposter experiences in workshops, normalizing these feelings for his employees. And last is to seek professional help. If feelings of fraudulence are overwhelming, consider talking to a mental health professional who can provide professional support. An example of this would be Emily, who sought therapy when her imposter syndrome began affecting her personal life, learning strategies to manage her anxiety effectively. Imposter syndrome is a common phenomenon, especially in environments where people are pushing their limits and tackling new challenges. Remember, it's not a sign of inadequacy, but a misperception of competence. By employing the strategies I discussed today, you can begin to see yourself as rightfully skilled and fully capable. Thanks for listening and supporting this podcast. And make sure you're clicking the like and subscribe button. You can also follow me on Twitter and Instagram. Stay
stay safe, be well, and don't forget to be the best version of you.